the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
Good evening, folks. It is a Wednesday evening, and I still don't know why I'm here, but I'm doing a show. And so, this is the What Are You Reading comic book show. I'm your host, The Surfer, and somehow my contract got with Finagle into doing a show during the week, and so here I am. And I'm joined by, of course, Jordan Cobb, who helps me run the show. He runs the board.
Hello.
Helps me do things I couldn't do. Allows me to pick on him and you know, abuse him when I need to. And
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
You just do that for no reason.
No. Sorry, I'm having trouble with the audio. And I'm trying to figure out how to correct it. Anyway, how are you, Jordan?
I'm fine.
Yeah, I hit you out of nowhere with this, didn't I?
Kind of slipped my mind. I thought I'd be enjoying NXT TakeOver tonight, which I still am. But I am a professional, not above anything. So
that's the thing.
I'm
anybody
here.
Gonna be listening to us? They'd be watching the TakeOver.
Yeah, and hey, NXT TakeOver's been a pretty damn good show so far. But I'm here to also help entertain the folks with what we do.
Yeah, how did I get talked into this? But anyway, we're gonna do a short show, I guess. You know, talk a little comic books.
Take your
call from Skype.
So.
How'd you enjoy your weekend off?
It was fine. I got some work done. Just relaxed a bit. Sent in some more applications. Paying jobs and all that.
That's good to hear. Good to hear. My weekend was boring. I went to the con, the Wizard World. It was boring. It gets worse and worse every year. Says high sound coming from my speaker. Do you hear a lot of background noise?
No, I don't.
Skype is telling me this.
Well, I'm not hearing really anything.
Okay.
Except your voice, so.
Let's see, my microphone. Let me see what's going on here.
This is gonna be fun now.
I don't know what Skype is saying to me, but you know, as long as the people can hear us, we can put on a show. Tell them how they can join us if they're not watching the NXT TakeOver and they want to talk comics with us.
A couple ways you can join us here live on the Rereading Comic Book Show is by joining us on Skype. Add and or just call the contact Silver Surfer. What?
They have to add first, because they just call.
All right, I gotcha. Add, then call the contact SilverSurfer_forever. All lowercase help out your search. Listen live chat room, where you can www.rantneandreal.com/chatlistenlive, where you can join me, Surfer, and all the other listeners. As we talk along, is also at www.rantneandreal.com/chatlistenlive, that you can listen to us live on the air as you chat. And if you can't listen to us live on the air, the show will play in a loop all week long here at that location until a new episode broadcasts live. But if you can't do that, you want to listen at your own time. I understand. I'm busy. You're busy. We're all fucking busy people. It's a crazy world out there. So, we are on Podbean, Stitcher Internet Radio, Blog Talk Radio, and you can listen to us on the almighty iTunes. Just search for Rant EM Radio in the podcasting section when you open up iTunes today. And while you're subscribing, rate us 5 stars and leave a review. That would be greatly appreciated and help us out so much. And that's it.
Okay. Normally, when it's after, can you just pronounce it for me, please?
Take two.
Could you pronounce it for me, please?
When it's, what are you trying to say?
Applicable.
Allocable. What the? Oh, fuck you, man.
I'm getting tongue-tied. I get box office numbers when it applies. And this weekend, box office did apply to us because, of course, there are a few comic book related movies out. Number one for the weekend was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows. Brought in $35 million over the weekend. Kind of underperformed because it has a budget of $135 million. And it is the follow up to the last Teenage Ninja Mutant Turtle movie. What's it doing overseas? Has it opened overseas yet? Overseas, it's not doing that great either. It only brought in $35 million. So, worldwide, it's up to $77 million. So, I don't know what that means for the future of the Turtles, but we'll find out soon enough. Second place, X-Men Apocalypse brought in another $22 million. It's a 2-week total is now $116 million. It's kind of underperforming for an X-Men movie. It had a budget of $178 million. It is making up for it overseas because it's up to $424 million worldwide. So, the mutants, they ain't doing all that bad. Angry Birds came in fifth place with $10 million. That's up to $87 million worldwide. I mean, sorry, domestic. And worldwide, $286 million. Financially, it is a successful video game movie. But whether people like it or not, that's another story for another day. And Captain America Civil War is dropped down to sixth place with $7 million. It's up to $389 million. It's a number one movie in the worldwide total. $1,133,000,000. So, Cap kicking ass. And, did you see Jungle Book yet?
No, I haven't had a chance.
Yeah, that's up to $347 million.
I haven't had a chance to see most movies. I only just now saw Zootopia.
And you loved it, didn't you?
Yeah, I loved it. It's my favorite movie so far this year. It's great.
Zootopia is a nice little movie.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk a little review here. I did see Ninja Turtles last week and have an opinion on it.
So alright, what play. You think of them turtles?
Right, let me play a little audio for it first and then give you my
all review. Alright.
Try not to be too spoilerific.
Thank you. What's happening out there, Donnie?
I don't know. It doesn't look good.
Gear up, guys.
Whoa!
Bogey's on the bus.
I think it's very vital.
Hit the button.
What button? There are a million buttons.
Around, on top. Here we go.
Here we go.
What are you? Superheroes?
Just four brothers who hate bullies and love this city.
Well, this never works out well for you. What's your name?
Casey Jones.
Hey. One question. Are you two guys like a thing?
I'm looking for Aaron Moore. But we could work with that.
Me too.
This is gonna be good!
Dude, bring him back the Mohawk. Good for you.
Oh, y'all got jokes, huh?
Why are we going with the turtles? When something bad happens, you want to be with the turtles.
Ready to hear this, Jordan?
Yeah, lay it on me. Does this suck or not?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Out of the Shadows. Now, the last movie, people complained that wasn't the turtles they knew. They grew up on the 90s cartoon, the Fox Box Turtles, or whatever channel they saw it on, that it wasn't their turtles. I didn't think the movie was all that bad. I didn't think it was great, but it turned out better than I thought it was going to be, especially with Michael Bay being involved with it. And remember, we saw the leaked script of his notes and everything, and what he thought was funny and what he thought need to be added to the movie. So anyway, so Out of the Shadows, all the four turtles are back. Michelangelo, Leonardo, Donatello, Raphael. Okay, one's the leader. One's the tech guy. One's the nut. One's the angry one. And of course, Master Splinter, who's the father and taught them how to fight and keeps them in line. They live in the sewer and they keep the city of New York safe. And they have their friend April O'Neil, who in the last movie turned out she used to own them as pets when her father used to experiment on these turtles. And, you know, it just so happened they got mutated after she put them in the sewers so they wouldn't be killed. And then later on, you know, ran into them. Okay. So they're keeping the city safe, but they're keeping it in the shadows. You know, the last movie, they took down the Splinter. And, you know, of course, since they're not normal, they couldn't take credit for it. So that left Will Arnett character, who, what was his name?
Vern.
Yeah, Vern Fernick, to take the credit, you know. And so he's living it up big time, you know, key to the city and everything, celebrity. Because they all think he stopped the Shredder. Well, start off this movie, for no apparent reason, the Shredder's being transferred from one prison to another. And so, of course, they got the convoy, and they transfer in the Shredder, and he's also being transferred by these two local knucklehead criminals of Bebop and Rocksteady, played by Gary Anthony Williams and Stephen Farley. You like Stephen Farley? You like him as an actor?
Yeah, he's okay.
You think he looks stupid?
Shit. Depends. Like, if he's, like, covering a whole bunch of spotlight that makes him paler than all of goddamn hell.
No, I mean,
hell.
Like, the way he got his hair now and you know.
What, in the movie, or?
No, like, in his day job.
No, I'm not a fan of Mohawk. Okay. And the braided beard looks silly.
Now, of course, if you're listening and you're not, you don't know, Stephen Farley, of course, is Sheamus, WWE Sheamus. So they're being transferred, and the Foot Clan, led by Tyler Perry, who plays Baxter Stockton, is set up a plan to, free the Shredder, because that's their leader. And the Turtles get wind of this, and they go to stop them. And they got their little dump truck. And they go after them, but Shredder gets away anyway, because Baxter Stockton has this kind of technology that he used to teleport the Shredder away. Now, one of the people driving the vehicle is Casey Jones, who is a correction officer. He's played by Stephen Amell from Arrow. And, of course, he's, loses his job because no one believes him when he says, yeah, this happened, the truck came, and these strange-looking creatures came out of nowhere. And they just think he's just talking junk. And so he loses his job, and he's like, oh, I'll be a detective one day. Don't you worry. So he's determined to capture Bebop and Rocksteady. He really don't care about Shredder. But he wants to capture Bebop and Rocksteady. So he goes hunting for them. Now, Shredder, of course, was transferred away through some technology, is intercepted and brought to another base of location where he meets Commander Krang. Commander Krang is voiced by Brad Garrett. And Krang's like, look, you want to take over the world? I want to take over the world. We can do this together. All you have to do is get these items, bring them to me, and we'll have all the power we need to take over the world. And here, take this stuff, gives him some ooze, and says, you know, this will help you out. Stop these turtles. So Shredder goes back, gets Bebop and Rocksteady, he turns them into the creatures that you know them from the cartoon, which is a rhino and a warthog. Now, these two are pretty fucking ridiculous. And once they turn to animals, they just get even worse. Like, how they could be criminals is beyond me, because it's no wonder they was in jail. But anyway, so the turtles get wind of the ooze and what Shredder wants to do. So, of course, they have to try to stop him from collecting these items so that he can take over the world. And, they're being helped by Megan Fox, who plays April O'Neil. Now, in the last movie, I will say the movie did seem to focus more about April O'Neil. It's like, the movie focused on the human, and the turtles just happened to be there. In this movie, it's all about the turtles. April is in her place, which is helping the turtles, and, you know, not the main focus of the movie. Somehow they got Laura Linney to do this film. She plays the police chief, and I don't know, maybe she, you know, her kids... She wanted her kids to look up to her, because it really doesn't make sense that she would do a movie like this. And Tony Shalhoub is the voice of Shredder, which you really don't get a lot of Shredder. Now, have you fell asleep on me yet?
Don't you mean Splinter?
I mean Splinter, I'm sorry.
I'm letting you do your damn review.
I'm just saying, I know you like to lose interest. I just want to make sure I'm keeping.
No, I'm right here. I'm listening to you, man.
All right. Here's what I admit. Is this cartoon? I mean, sorry. Is this movie more like the '90s cartoon? Yes, without a doubt. If you grew up loving the '90s cartoon, that was your thing, and you thought it was great, you're probably gonna look at this movie and think, "Awesome! Everything I wanted in a Turtles movie." I looked at it and I fucking couldn't take it. It drove me nuts. The first 5 seconds in, it's like.
Really, 5 seconds. That's all it took to make this a painful experience.
That's all. Listen. Okay. It starts off, they're on the top of the Chrysler building, and they're ready to ninja down, all swooping through the city and stuff. 5 seconds in, they crash into each other. And I'm like, yeah, this movie's going to be ridiculous. And sure enough, it is the most ridiculous piece of shit I've watched all year long.
And we've watched Batman v Superman.
Listen, Batman v Superman. At least they tried to be serious. This they did not try at all to be serious. It was goofiness on steroids, and that was my personal problem with the movie. But like I said, I get it that it's just like the cartoon. So, you know, if you thought it made sense that four turtles could drive a dump truck and have all these gadgets on there, hey, okay. But to me, watching it live action, it just made it look so fucking ridiculous. And I don't think anybody did a bad acting performance, except maybe Stephen Amell, and I don't think that was his fault. Because, you know, Casey Jones, he's dark and gritty, and for some reason, he's smiling and frat boyish.
Hi, I'm Casey Jones.
Ding. Look, you can think Stephen Amell's a good-looking guy. Fine, that's your thing. But hey, okay, you grew up watching the '90s cartoon.
Well, yeah.
And you was a big fan of it.
I was okay. I'm what you'd say a moderate fan of Ninja Turtles. Like, I'm not a big fan of it. I like it, but there are certain aspects I do love. But yeah, I would just say I'm a moderate Turtles fan. So,
I don't know how you, once you see it, how you would feel, because everybody I've talked to that.
Oh, I imagine I'll just have like. I'll admit I'll have like a neutral feeling, just going and be like, okay, I like Turtles, so I'll see how this is. I mean, the last movie, I'm just on. I mean, I liked the turtles in the last movie. Like, okay, turtles were the best thing in it.
Everybody that grew up watching the turtles seemed to think they loved the movie. They thought it was everything they asked for out of a turtles movie. Me, you know, I was an adult from day one that Turtle cartoon came out. I watched episodes with my little brother, but it was never my thing. So I don't have the attachment to that. Anytime, any improvement was always better to me. But yeah, it just drove me nuts. And I saw too many things that I saw too much of Michael Bay's hand in his movie. Like would you see cars exploding on highways and they blow up and you know, simultaneously, you know, that's Michael Bay all the way. So that's my opinion on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out the Shadows.
Like, what's your rating?
Oh, yeah, I thought it was bullshit, but
okay, some old bullshit. All right,
hey, you know, if the kids want to see it, then take the kids to go see it. And like I said, if you grew up watching the cartoon, then you won't have a problem with this.
All right.
Now, speaking of movies.
Yeah.
You know, we've had four comic book movies come out so far. We got a couple more to go, and you know, everybody to this point thinks that Captain America is the best movie so far. You know, a lot of people was hoping that Batman v Superman would be that, but, you know, it came up short. And some people probably point towards Deadpool as being the better movie. And, you know, X-Men, it's a mixed feeling. We still got two more to go, which is the Suicide Squad and Doctor Strange. You know, who knows? They might be better movies than what we've seen so far. We don't know. They might come up short. But, Jordan, did you know?
Yeah.
Did you know that none of those movies may be the best movie, best comic book movie to come out in the theaters this year?
What are you talking about?
Because for one night only in select theaters nationwide, you will be able to see Batman, The Killing Joke on the big screen.
That is true. The movie is officially premiering at San Diego Comic-Con International this year, but if you're not able to attend the con, which is most likely, you got a chance to still see it on the big screen. Maybe not in that big a capacity. But yeah, Fathom Events is hosting two separate screenings on Monday, July 25th, each at 7:30 and 10 p.m. local time. And the film will feature a special introduction by Mark Hamill himself and a special behind-the-scenes look at how the Joker's memorable yet disturbing song and dance number was created after the movie plays. To get tickets will be available on June 27. You can go and see which theater near you is participating and order your tickets online at FathomEvents.com.
So I'm assuming this is going to be packed.
Oh, no doubt. But hey, if you're not able to make it to the theaters, but hey, the very next day on the 26th, the movie will be released digitally and then released on Blu-ray and DVD on August the 2nd.
Yeah, I'm going to go see it in the theater. I think it's one of those things. It's going to be worth seeing on the big screen.
I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to see it on the big screen, but I'll see.
And I will be buying a copy of it.
Well, of course. We're still going to review this, people. I'm looking forward to it. Because The Killing Joke is still, like, selling like gangbusters. That book is still selling.
Oh,
it is.
You just brought that up. You know, it's topped the charts.
Yeah, 28 years after it's been released. It's on the Nielsen BookScan's monthly list of the top 20 adult graphic novels. And has been ever since August 2014.
Do you own a copy?
Yes, I do.
I own an original copy.
I bought a recent, you know, deluxe edition release. So,
I have.
The only copy I'd read before belonged to my older brother, and you know I had to move, so I got my own copy.
That was one of that was a book that I would used to constantly reread.
It
was just so compelling, the story of it's a spoiler, people. So I mean, like, I don't know if you've been
the book's been out for 20 plus years. You've had time. Go ahead.
It was one of those stories that wasn't supposed to be canon, but it got so good that, you know, they made it canon. Where basically Batman's come to a realization that his thing with the Joker is going to lead to one eventually kill the other, and he confronts the Joker, only to find that the Joker has escaped Arkham again. And the Joker goes on a rampage. He does a lot of things to fuck with people, including injuring Barbara Gordon, leaving her paralyzed. And I think he raped her, too. Well, at least they indicated that.
Now, it's implied, all right? It's never outright said. It's just implied and thought of in whatever the eyes of the reader wants to believe happened.
And
All right, so.
And then he inflicts all kinds of mental anguish on Commissioner Gordon. All to fuck with Batman.
Yeah, just to prove, I was like, hey, one bad day, and you'll end up, and you could end up like me.
Now, the end, of course, is another left interpretation. Some people feel that Batman killed the Joker. Some people.
That, now, that too up for interpretation. Right, that ending.
I just said that.
Yeah. That,
and some don't, like, when I read it, I didn't think he killed her. I thought that he just took him in after they had had to laugh.
I still think that. Having reread it, I was like, yeah, Batman didn't kill Joker. As much as he was pussed, he wasn't going to give in and let the Joker... Killing the Joker... Batman killing the Joker would have been the Joker winning. And, you know, when you really look at it. So, Batman defeated the Joker by not killing him.
Now, in the movie, they're going to add a little extra backstory
because even Bruce Timm did, directing straight, adaptly, we got to fill some time out. We got to.
Because in the book, Barbara Gordon never becomes Batgirl, but I guess in the movie she will at some point before shot and injured.
We're getting some Batgirl in this movie, yeah. That'll be exciting.
So, this is like one of the few Batman stories they haven't adapted yet to.
No.
Anime action. They've done Death in the Family. Not straight adaptation, but we did.
Yeah, it was worked into Under the Red Hood, which itself was an adaptation.
We didn't get Arkham Asylum yet.
Grant Morrison's Serious House on a Serious Earth. But yeah, after Killing Joke, we already got our next DC animated movie lined up.
I'm sorry, we did get Dark Knight Return, we did get Year One.
Yeah, we did. Both pretty straightforward.
So still, I'm down for the Killing Joke, and you know, people have been wanting this for a long time. It's gonna be R-rated, so the kids, you got to not show it to them until they're ready.
Yep. Although, you know, there's gonna be parents that don't give a fuck. They're just gonna show it to them anyway. Cause it's Batman. No, Jesus, dude. Your kid's gonna be. You're gonna have to give your kid therapy after showing him Killing Joke.
Any activity in the chat room? Ain't nobody even listening to us. Some bullshit. Not even Double A's in the chat room.
It's Double A's barely in our chat room already. Alright, but speaking of DC animation, we already know what's coming up right after Killing Joke. Now, thanks to the British Board of Film Classification, Justice League Dark, which is a Justice League team that comprises of the more magical and fantastical characters of the DC universe, such as John Constantine, Swamp Thing, Deadman, Madame Xanadu, Black Orchid, and Zatanna, which was one of my absolute favorite books in DC until it was sadly gone. And it's gonna be happening. It's been long rumored that Guillermo del Toro would do it as a live action film, but we all know that's fallen through to all hell. So hey, DC original animated film. I'm pretty happy with that.
Well, you know, they was talking about doing a live action Justice League Dark. Del Toro wanted to direct it, and it wouldn't have made sense to try to do a live action of that when they haven't even done a Justice League yet. But doing an animated feature first makes more sense. It gives people a chance to introduce them to characters they may not know and understand, and give them a chance to get to know them so that you can use them later in live action.
It's smarter as well, you know.
And We talked about Sheamus being in the
Yes, we have.
In Ninja Turtles, he also wants to do a Venom movie.
No, he wants to play Venom in Spider-Man.
Right.
Yeah. Sheamus out on the press tour, of course, said like he'd love to play Venom. Dropping that out.
Isn't
like
it
that.
Amazing how everybody wants to all of a sudden play comic book characters? Brian T, who played Shredder in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, he's going around saying how he would love to play Namor.
Well, Namor's back with Marvel now. So, hey, who the hell not? So, hey.
So, they get the rights back?
What?
They got the rights back?
Yeah, they did.
Or, I don't think Namor will get a solo movie right away. I think they'll try to work him into someone else's movie first. And then spin him off to something solo.
Well, speaking of Spider-Man, Michael Barbarelli has joined the cast of Spider-Man Homecoming. 14-year-old has been cast in a mystery role, so we don't know jack shit about what he's doing in this movie.
He's 14.
Yeah.
Let's see. Is he a little wimp or is he a big guy?
I don't know. I'm just looking at a picture of the kid in the article we got. I've never really heard of this kid. He's supposed to be making his feature film debut
Harry.
What?
He'll probably be Harry Osborn.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? I mean, eh. And one last bit of Marvel casting. New rumor out there. Brie Larson. A recent Academy Award winning Brie Larson could be playing Carol Danvers.
Which is Captain Marvel.
Yes, it is.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how credible do you think that is?
I'm going to say about 7 because, 1, I'd really love for Brie Larson to play Carol Danvers. I think that'd be great.
She certainly wasn't like a
name. And she seems plausible, but it's a rumor. You can't trust shit.
She certainly wasn't a name fanboys had in mind when there's somebody doing the Captain Marvel movie.
I'll admit, neither did I, but again, I really love Brie Larson as a performer, and once the news came out and I started to think about it, I was like, yeah,
but, you know,
I'm with this.
Marvel hasn't miscasted anyone yet.
No, they really haven't. They have a proven record. They have a proven record. Oh, yeah, now the last bit of Marvel news, since we were talking box office earlier. Captain America Civil War is now the top grossing film of the year, past Deadpool.
Yeah, we talked about that already.
Oh, yeah, shit. All right, my mind. All right, well, fuck me then. We're going to move on to the news that, all right, some DC film news. The Ultimate Edition for Batman v Superman had its trailer come out.
Did you see anything new in the trailer that got you excited?
Like it would make me want to see the movie again?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. You can put an R rating on this. You can tell me that Wonder Woman suddenly comes in and kills everybody. I'm still not watching this movie again. I'm sorry. I hate Batman v Superman. I'm not watching it again. And I love how some people. And I'm not buying into this, guys, that suddenly an R rating's gonna make this movie any better. I'm sorry. You put gold spray paint on a piece of shit. It's still a piece of shit.
Hey, man, that's harsh.
Sorry, but that's how I really feel.
He's just overreacting.
I'm sorry, but that's just how I feel. And also the reaction of some people being like, yeah, Ultimate is just Dal Rock. I'm just like, I'm sorry. No. I'm sorry, but I'm just not buying into it. I do not care. What was your reaction?
Uh, trailer didn't do anything for me, but I am going to see the movie to see if it's better with the added length to it or not. Because it could be a better film, and they just cut the wrong things out.
Yeah, you let me know how that goes.
Well, I could demand that all employees watch the film.
I'm your only employee.
Yeah, well,
you already make me watch Gotham, you asshole.
Yeah, and you're better person for it.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
I'm really not, but whatever. The Flash has found its new... Oh, fuck you, Deadline. All right. The Flash has found a new director in the form of Dopes Rick. And I'm going to apologize in advance. Famuyiwa. That's the best I'm going to do to pronounce that name.
Did you know about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar writing a comic?
No.
He's writing Mycroft Holmes.
Huh. Okay. Wasn't aware. But yes, Famuyiwa is directing The Flash now. Gotten lots of recognition for last year's indie hit Dope, which was well received at Sundance.
Mm-hmm.
When it debuted, and also recently has gotten Emmy buzz for the HBO film Confirmation, starring Kerry Washington and Wendell Pierce.
I'm sorry, say that last part again.
Wendell Pierce.
Oh, what about Wendell Pierce?
He was in a movie directed by Famuyiwa, Confirmation, with Kerry Washington on HBO.
Oh, okay, yeah, I know Wendell Pierce.
Yeah.
And so what's he doing now?
He's directing a Flash. Weren't you? You get on me about listening. He's directing The Flash. This guy is directing The Flash.
Oh, he's directing an episode of The Flash.
No, The Flash movie.
Oh, wait a minute. You're talking about the Dope director?
Yes!
Wait, Wendell Pierce directed Dope?
No! I'm saying he was in the recent film that Famuyiwa directed, which is Confirmation with
Wendell Pierce.
I'm so... Oh, Jesus. This is a shit show already. Good God.
I'm sorry. I'm just trying to make sure I'm hearing this right.
All right. Rick Famuyiwa. All right. Just to Famuyiwa is directing The Flash film starring Ezra Miller.
Mm-hmm.
He is the new director. So, and I haven't seen Dope yet or Confirmation, so I really can't say.
Oh, he directed Confirmation too, you say?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Now, I haven't seen either, so I really can't say it's a good idea.
I didn't get a chance to see Confirmation. I hear Confirmation was good. Dope is pretty good.
All right. I know it's on Netflix, so I got to find time. Again, it's much easier for me now to get caught up on TV shows than it is movies.
Well,
this is how I am right now.
We'll see if this leads to The Flash being a better film than we thought we was going to get. Because it seemed like everything was going to go dark and gritty.
In DC.
Yeah. Until, of course, Batman v Superman didn't do what they thought it was going to do and the backlash for it.
Yeah, maybe that actually told Warner Brothers, yeah, maybe we should... change some show.
Yeah, Scott Snyder isn't meant.
Zack Snyder.
Zack Snyder shouldn't be in charge of everything. In fact, you know, you're not really hearing much about Zack Snyder these days.
We really aren't.
I mean, yeah, he's still directing the Justice League movie because they can't back out of that and it would look bad. But you would think that it would be more talk of him. And, yeah, it's just, you know, who knows? it may be a point where it's just they got a ghost director and they just keep his name on there, save face. Which
I'm all for.
Yeah, it would make a lot of people happy.
Definitely make me happy. Now, people seem to be freaking the hell out over some recent news with Star Wars, with Rogue One, a Star Wars story, about reshoots. When, guys, reshoots are a part of any film, be it big or small budgeted, all right?
Well, some execs didn't like some of what they saw, and wanted some reshoots.
Yeah, it's being said that about 40% of the film is being reshot with Christopher McQuarrie overseeing it and helping to fix the film and add some quote-unquote levity and fun.
Now, I have a friend. He's such a Star Wars fan. He thinks it's a lie.
Everyone's losing their shit over this, and it seems... Tony Gilroy was on board as a second, director. But according to Star Wars, talking to Entertainment Weekly, the plan now is to lock picture in mid-August and begin scoring the film in September, which they note would be an earlier timeline than for the recent Force Awakens. And Entertainment Weekly also mentioned the reshoots were originally planned for spring but were delayed until midsummer, to give Gareth Edwards, the director of the film, more time to discuss what he'd like to reshoot.
Now, I'm wondering how much money this film has to make in order to be a success. Because I don't expect it to do what Force Awakens did.
You don't expect it to make all the money ever in the world?
Right. I don't think it's gonna be that big. But it could still be one of the bigger movies of the year. If it's well received,
I imagine it'll be well received enough. It's Star Wars, but yeah. Then again, that's not exactly an indicator. But again, I imagine
as a Star Wars film, it's dummy proof, so it's gonna make some money. It's just a question of how much money.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to make $100 million without even trying.
Well, of course. So, people, just relax.
Right now, there's two dummy-proof franchises out there. Star Wars, Transformers. They're dummy-proof. They're going to make money no matter what.
Speaking of Transformers, they have recently just added Sir Anthony Hopkins into Transformers The Last Knight. And there's no word as to what role he's playing.
He'll probably voice some...
He'll most likely be a voice.
He'll either be some ancient Autobot or maybe,
biggest rumor being Unicron.
You think they're going to do Unicron?
That's the rumor going around. Like, people are saying, Anthony Hopkins is going to play Unicron.
I don't know if they're going to introduce the Quintessons in this movie or not. Because, of course, Optimus Prime did go to try to find... The Transformer creators, and we don't know if this version was created by the Quintessons or not. You know what the Quintessons?
I forget.
Yeah, they got like three sided heads, and basically they made the Autobots to be worker drones, and they made the Decepticons to keep them entertained, and the Decepticons, of course, turned on the Quintessons and drove them off Cybertron. And then, because they're so aggressive, they started to control the Autobots until the Autobots started fighting back. And then the Autobots created a transformation as a way of fighting back, and then Decepticons learn that, and see, I remember all that from the cartoons. All right. The Unicron. Are you a big Unicron fan?
Much like Turtles, I'm more of a moderate Transformers fan. There's I know plenty more
you
about
to touch.
I know plenty more about. Yeah.
Did you cry when Optimus Prime died?
You don't. Okay, look, I love, I cried at that moment, all right? Because that shit affected me as a kid, all right?
I didn't know when he transformed and rolled out, that was going to be his last time, and they started playing the music.
Yeah, which I just took as, like, a random 80s song, okay?
Because, what I didn't pay attention to when the first time I saw it was one of the first things you see is a bunch of dead Autobots, because the Decepticons had raided a ship and killed all the Autobots on there. And I should have known then that they were destroying each other in this movie. And of course, they only destroyed each other so they could come up with the new versions of toys to sell in season 2 of the Transformers. Generation 1, they were nothing
sell them
more,
toys, man.
They were nothing more than 30-minute toy commercials.
Okay, you can use that description on a whole lot of different 80s cartoons.
Right, well, okay, Transformers, G.I. Joe, He-Man.
Mask.
Okay, Mask. Thundercats, sure.
Yeah.
It was that movie. They've been talking about doing a Thundercats movie forever.
What, Mask?
No, Thundercats. Well, Mask.
Well, I know Mask is happening. I just got confused. I just misheard.
Yeah, because
Thundercats. Ow, now could that make a full free, like, motion picture movie? Could that be?
You could, but it may look goofy. Live action. As far as Mask, you know, we do know that they're Hasbro's doing a shared universe, and so yeah, this next Transformer movie might have things showing up that you might not expect, so they can do their little shared universe.
Well, speaking of a universe, DC's TV universe might have a bit of a shakeup soon. Vixen, who appeared in season 4 of Arrow, played by her voice actress from the CW Seed animated show, Ichinwoke. I'm just going to go with Ichinwoke. That sounds way more pronounceable. Vixen's set to be on Legends of Tomorrow. But it might be a different actress.
Yeah, because the actress who plays isn't available.
Some film projects.
Yes.
So they might just go ahead and recast. And if it's a conflict of scheduling, yeah, that's totally understandable.
Well, the plan is, what I read, is they're going to have somebody play an older version of her from the timeline. So that I guess it would leave her open to, you know, go back into the role whenever she's available.
Of course.
And why can't she get her own hour-long show like everybody else? Why you gotta hold a black woman down? I'm just asking, just saying, just questioning. White blonde Supergirl gets her own show.
I don't know, man. Hollywood's broke. Hey, Hollywood's a fuck.
She didn't have a show in the CW. All of a sudden, now she got a show in the CW. What's up with that?
Yeah, and Superman's showing up for the first two episodes of
it. Yeah, Superman.
Superman's finally going to make a full on-screen appearance as an actual human being. not CGI, and you'll see his face. Now, of course, it won't be Henry Cavill, because Warner Brothers don't like mixing their things together.
You think they'll get what you call to come back and please?
Tom Welling's, revealed, like, he hasn't even been asked about that. No one's asked him.
He may be saying that, but that don't mean that, you know.
I don't know. But speaking of Warner Brothers keeping their film and TV apart, Will Holland expressed some displeasure about that recently.
She plays Speedy on...
Yeah, Will Holland playing Fia Queen / Speedy on Arrow recently at the at a con out in London, saying how, you know, they were building their own Suicide Squad. They were building up on their own, but then Warner Brothers like, cut that shit out.
Arrow has suffered from not being able to use certain characters because they're being used in the movies. And
yeah,
like I guess they got lucky with the Flash, because normally he would get canceled, but
Flash is too popular a show.
And
they know how much they're going to get fucked by fans.
People would be happier just that if he did the movies too. But no.
Yeah. That was brought up in the interview as well, how they thought, yeah, it seemed like a no-brainer. And of course, Tom Holland saying, like, Zack Snyder's making a stupid mistake not even considering Grant Gustin.
And people are just going to compare the two. And that might not be fair to
one or the other.
So, because if Marvel, you know,
Holland even brought up Marvel, saying now, like Marvel does in their own weird right kind of match between Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the movies and such. So now, it's a little upsetting because, you know, it is possible and it can be done. And how good would it be if it was done?
Like I said, Warner Brothers movies does not care about the TV division, so...
No, apparently it's like that. They're like the redheaded stepchild. Yeah. So, John Boyega is going to be joining the Pacific Rim sequel.
Is he not the greatest black actor of our generation?
Right
is
now?
Is he not the new Denzel?
Oh, man. He could be. That would be great. I love me some John Boyega. Yeah, love him. So he's amazing. He is taking the lead role in this film.
The rumor is he's supposed to play the son of Idris Elba's character from the original...
Yeah, which... Why wasn't that brought up at all? Like, Mako in the movie is, like, his surrogate daughter.
Maybe he knocked somebody up and didn't know that he was out there.
Okay, that could... Yeah, that could certainly be a thing.
Yeah.
Hmm.
You know, he had somebody and then Kaiju Munchster attacked. And, somehow they got separated, and she was dead, and she had a baby, and grew up to wanting to follow his father's footsteps.
That could work. You excited for Pacific Rim 2?
Oh, I need to see something first before I make that decision.
I already am.
I mean, I like the first Pacific Rim, so...
I love the first one.
You know, if they can do a good sequel, I won't have no problem with that.
Yeah. Let's see, what else we gotta discuss next? Okay,
you know,
so...
We're not gonna do all these stories, because we need to save some stuff for Sunday.
All right, you wanna do one more? Just one more?
It depends on what that one more is.
Doc Savage?
You mean Rock Savage?
Rock Savage! Yes, our final story of the night. Shane Black's much talked about adaptation for the for Doc Savage,
the pulp fiction hero.
Yes, one of the best, like Gold Man of the Bronze Age, has officially confirmed that Dwayne The Rock Johnson is taking on the role. The Rock officially announced it himself with a very lengthy Instagram post, along with Black and other crew members behind Doc Savage this past week. And you know what? That's actually pretty goddamn good casting.
Yeah, and with Shane Black, we're going to get some Christmas and everything, so. Now, of course, you haven't seen his last movie yet, right?
The Nice Guys?
Yes.
No, I want to, man. I so badly want to go see it right now.
Well, if you got some money, you know, I know where I can hook you up with the illegal stuff, but, you know.
I don't know what you're talking about. I pay for everything. Because,
you know, I don't want to be hauled off to jail.
Yeah, so shut up so I don't be implicated.
No, I'm just putting on an entertaining show. I haven't done any deal legal yet.
All right, well, yeah, there you go. The Rock's officially playing Doc Savage again. I find that to be just excellent fucking casting. That's going to be great. So there you go. That's all we got for you on this special edition of the What Are You Reading Comic Book Show. We got bills to pay. Surfer, pay them.
This is the summer of NWO every Tuesday, all summer long here on Rant EM Radio. Come back tomorrow for a new episode of Rant and Wrestling Live, 9 p.m. Friday, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, 9 p.m. live. Rant and Wrestling is not live, but Turnbuckle Throwbacks is live. Saturday Night Live is the wrestling call-in show at 11 p.m. We'll be back on the air live this Sunday, 5 p.m., the What Are You Reading? Comic book show. We'll be raring to go and talking more news and reviews. Monday night, live at 11:30, following Raw. Talk Brunch. And then next Tuesday, of course, is a doubleheader of Rant at 8 p.m., followed by Freaks and F and Geeks at 11. And next Wednesday should be a new episode of Thumbstick Ninjas, because that's every other Wednesday at 8 p.m. And so, I should play a song.
Yeah.
What song, though? Oh, you know, we lost a legend of comics this last week. One of the greatest people to ever grace the cover of a comic book and grace the pages of a comic book, Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, the great one, one of the most absolutely inspirational people of all time, one of the best athletes of all time, one of the best people.
The only man capable of whipping Superman's ass, and he did.
And it was, man, that was a star-studded event in of itself. Mm-hmm. A lot of people showed up for that. But our condolences to the Ali family and friends. We hope they're holding up very well, because the world just lost something incredible that will never come around again. There's going to be nobody like Muhammad Ali. So, rest in peace, champ.
The greatest of all time. Fought in the 60s and the 70s. And beat some of the greatest fighters to ever come down the pike. So that's why he is considered the greatest himself. It wasn't just him beating a bunch of bums. He beat some great, great fighters.
Oh, George Foreman.
Could have been, would have been champions for a long time had they not come along at the same time he did.
Yeah. Muhammad Ali saw a mountain in his way. He just hit the mountain.
And that's the reason why boxing is not as popular as today because you may get one or two great boxes or good boxes, but the talent they're taking on just don't measure up. So. What? I think I know what song I want to play. Because I hear this song from time to time. I don't know the words, but I just love the way it sounds.
Well, on that note, good night, everybody.
Anyway, let me get the song ready first.
Oh, okay. I thought you had it ready to go. Shit, timing, man.
Okay. I think I got the right one.
All right, so sign off.
I don't know if I should do the original version or this English cover of it.
Go with your heart, man.
I'm going to do the original version.
All right. Well, all right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.